Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting at the first verse. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So, I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
I was interested to read in the paper on Thursday. Sandy Toksvig allows her celebrity abuser to rest in peace. Sandy Toksvig, the BBC Radio 4 broadcaster, says she will not name the celebrity who groped her in the 80s, as he is now dead. She wants him to rest in peace. And then it describes how various other presenters had similar experiences. And of course, this ongoing story of Jimmy Savile. Rest. Rest in peace. How important is rest to you? I guess it's very important. Previous generations worked very hard. My forebears were miners and potters, physical workers. They worked very hard, especially the ones who were down the mine. To be a 19th century miner was no joke. So in many respects, we have it easy. However, I suspect we are a uniquely stressed generation. At least a miner didn't take his work home. Many of us now get emails on our mobile phones. We take our laptops home. Many of you tell me you check emails on the weekend just to make Monday morning possible. Many of us take emails with us on holiday, so there's no escape. Where can we find rest? Well, the answer of Hebrews 4 is that we will find rest ultimately in heaven, but that we can enter into God's rest now. That is to say, we can live our life in a state of rest because we're in relationship with God. I recently read a biography of the Queen. I thought it was timely in view of her jubilee. One of many things which struck me about that book was that the Queen has a way of resting when she's in work. Apparently, she closes her eyes and cuts out the world and rests within herself. That's a sort of illustration of Hebrews 4. You may have a very stressful job. You may have demanding family responsibilities. But the writer says, in the middle of all that, you can find rest. Let's try and understand this. I've divided it into four headings on your sheets. Rest is available. Rest is of God. Rest is up to us. And rest is called Sabbath. Firstly, then, rest is available. Verse 1. Therefore. That is to say, in view of the example of the Israelites who were rescued from slavery in Egypt but did not find rest in the promised land. They were unbelieving and sinful. In view of that terrible example of corpses strewn through the wilderness instead of finding rest in the promised land, in view of all that, don't miss out on God's rest. Don't miss out on heaven. Heaven is where we will ultimately rest. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, God promises that he will give you rest, ultimately in heaven, but also to some extent here on earth. He will give you rest. The promise of entering his rest still stands. Do you need to hear that promise? I certainly do. I need to look forward to rest in heaven. I need to be able to enter into rest now, like the queen, retreating into herself, shutting the world out. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. That's the problem. Some people are church members, and sadly, they're not really Christians. So they won't make it to heaven. And they can't enter into God's rest now. They will fall short of it. That means we must examine our hearts, doesn't it? Am I really trusting Jesus? Are you really trusting Jesus? Are you really living with Jesus as King? Have you ever genuinely repented of your sin? If you haven't, then you're in danger of falling short of God's rest. This is very serious. We can't be confident that Sandy Toksvig's abuser is resting in peace. We can have no such confidence. There's only one way to be certain of resting in peace, and that's to be in relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. You've heard the gospel, perhaps. Have you combined it with faith? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? To put your faith in the Lord Jesus means to put your trust in him. Now, you are an illustration of this right now. Did you know that? You are an illustration of this right now because all of you are exercising faith. Yes, you're exercising faith right now. You're exercising trust in your chair. Don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you're leaning all your weight on your chair. You believe in your chair. You believe that your chair can hold your weight. You're not doubting this for a moment. You are an example of faith. In the same way, are you trusting in Jesus? Are you leaning all your weight on him? Are you trusting completely that he has paid for all your sin when he died on the cross, and that he is able to take you to heaven? Are you trusting him like that? If you are, that means you have combined the gospel with faith. And you're safe. You are saved from hell for heaven, for God's rest in heaven. Look at verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest. You have believed. So you enter God's rest. It's ultimately for heaven, but you enter it now. You have an experience of rest, even though life is hectic. And the more you trust in Jesus, the more you experience rest. I still struggle with this issue. I still struggle to experience rest. But I'm trusting God more than I did 10 years ago. And I'm experiencing more of his rest than I did 10 years ago. That's how it works. We don't get a full experience of this till heaven. But we do get a real experience of rest before heaven. I'll say that again. We don't get a full experience of rest till heaven, but we do get a real experience of rest before heaven. But we must exercise faith. I want to put this positively. Rest is available. But the warning of verse 3 is stark, isn't it? It's a quote from Psalm 95. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Heed the warning. Trust in Jesus, or you will not enter rest. Not now, not in heaven. And you will know if you're a rested person, or if you're a driven person. Can you take a day off? Can you relax? Our lack of rest speaks to us of our lack of rest in God. As a society, we take Valium and alcohol, and we do other things to manufacture an experience of rest. What we need is to be able to rest in God, and then rest in this life will follow. So, rest is available. Secondly, rest is of God, verses 3 and 4. That's to say, God models rest to us, verse 3. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. God made the world, and then he rested, verse 4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. In the Old Testament, God creates the seventh day, Saturday, as the rest day. He created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. Very obviously, God was setting us an example. He didn't need to rest. He didn't get tired. He modeled this for our good. I was at a minister's lunch when a minister almost boasted that he preaches 4 times a week, he never takes a day off, and when his children were small, he was very bad at spending time with them. This is very common amongst ministers. A friend whose father was a minister told me that her father was always so busy that he never came to parents' evenings or school events. He didn't have time for her. This is very sad, and especially wrong in preachers, since we should model what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that God believes in rest. He models it to us. But many of us seem to be like the people in verse 5, who never enter rest. When we reject rest, we're rejecting God's example. Rest is available. Rest is of God. He believes in it. Thirdly, rest is up to us. Verses 6 and 7. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Some enter rest, some don't. Which one are you? Verse 7. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do you see what God is saying? He is giving you today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, you can be forgiven. Today, you can be put right with God. Today, you can enter into rest. But it all depends what you do when you hear God's voice. When you hear God's voice, when the Bible is opened up to you, what do you do? Do you harden your heart? Or do you soften your heart? What is your routine reaction to God's word? See, rest is up to us. It's up to us whether we receive Christ, whether we make him king and rescuer. It's up to us whether we get our sins forgiven, whether we get right with God. It's up to us. It's up to us whether we accept a free place in heaven, a free place of rest. It's up to you. You can harden your heart and reject Christ, or you can soften your heart and receive Christ. And then it's up to you whether you become a person who experiences rest in this life. You can't avoid your responsibilities, but you can pray, for example. Start the day in prayer. Start the day with an experience of rest. Start the day in the Bible. Look how the Bible is described in verses 12 and 13. It's described as like a sword. That doesn't sound very restful, does it? It's a double-edged sword. But what this is saying to us is that rest is a spiritual warfare issue. That Satan wants to keep us anxious. God wants to give us rest. And what the Bible does is it penetrates to the heart of the issue. So for many of us, anxiety is an issue. And the Bible performs surgery on us. It's like a sharp knife. It's living and active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Everything is laid bare before God. This is not pleasant, but it is liberating. The best pastors can perform this kind of surgery on their people. They can bring the word to bear. They cut out thinking and attitudes which do not lead to rest in God. I need this surgery myself every morning. I need to be in my shed with the word, having my sinful lack of faith operated on. I need it. You need it. It is painful, but it does lead to rest. And then take your experience of God in prayer and in the word with you into the day. This is not easy, not at all easy. Everything conspires to rob us of rest. I think it probably takes a lifetime to learn to do this. As I say, I find this very difficult. But I know I'm better at it than I was 10 years ago. And it will be the same for you. If you know you have rest to come in heaven, that's the foundation. You can begin to enter into that rest now. And it really is up to us whether we choose this path or not. We're not just passive victims. We can choose the way that leads to rest, or we can reject it. And finally, rest is called Sabbath. Perhaps this seems incredibly obvious. Verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Another day. Another opportunity to find rest. That's the day we live in. The day of Christ. The day of the Spirit. The day of salvation. Then verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a Sabbath. It's different from the Old Testament Sabbath. The Old Testament Sabbath is Saturday. The Christians began to meet on Sunday, soon after the resurrection of Jesus, because it commemorated the resurrection of Jesus, which was on a Sunday. So our Sabbath is different. The day is different. And Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that keeping the law means more than outward observance. So remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not enough not to commit adultery. We must not even entertain lustful thoughts. And it's not enough not to kill. We must not even get angry. Jesus takes us deeper than the Ten Commandments. Jesus takes us into heart religion. The problem with the traditional Welsh Sunday was that the shops were shut, the pubs were closed, people went to church, children couldn't play. There was no entertainment. There was no going home from Sunday at 6 to watch Downton Abbey. The problem with all that was that there was outward rule-keeping. The Sabbath was kept. But there was often little rest in the heart. My own father, who was a Christian from childhood, resented not being able to play on a Sunday. This is not what Sabbath means. For Jesus, keeping the law is a matter of the heart. To enter into Sabbath does mean taking a day off, but it means more than that. It means being at rest in your heart. Being at rest because your sins are forgiven. It means taking advantage of this new day, the day of salvation. Verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. You must rest from your work. You won't last the distance if you don't take proper rest. And what better thing to do with a Sunday than to stop work, to focus on God, to come to church, I'd encourage you to come to church twice, get the most out of the day, study the Word, enjoy fellowship with God's people. I absolutely agree with all that. I think it was a great shame we brought in Sunday shopping. But we're not called to legalism. A friend of mine was told off by his father for cutting his toenails on the Sabbath. My uncle, Philip Hill, who preached here, had a girlfriend who stayed up till midnight so that she could mend a tear in her dress and therefore not break the Sabbath. Now this is very silly, outward rule-keeping. We're not bound by rules. We're in a relationship with God. And he wants to give us profound spiritual rest. Rest from the need to justify ourselves. Rest from the need to justify our existence. Rest from the need to earn salvation. This is heart Sabbath rest. So I'm not going to judge anybody for what they do on a Sunday. That's not the point. I want you to enter into the fullness of Sabbath. Verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. If you really want to know Christ, it requires effort. Because when you decide to follow Christ, you're deciding to go against the world. Our society, in case you haven't noticed, is anti-Christian. So there'll be huge pressure on you to give up Christ. So you have to decide. Are you willing to make the effort to follow Christ now, in order to receive rest in heaven and a taste of rest here on earth? Are you willing to make every effort? Will you be here on a Sunday? Will you come back to Sunday at 6? Will you come to the prayer meeting? Will you commit your life to serving Christ? That's rest. That's how you get to be at rest inside. To living for Christ. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? To live for Christ has got to be the best way to live. What else are you going to live for? Everything else is temporary. But to live for Christ is to know him for all eternity. What will you do with him? What will you do with the rest he offers? Rest is available. Rest is of God. It's up to us. And it's called Sabbath. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we all have the same need for forgiveness and to be put right with you and to know that we're going to heaven, to be at rest for all eternity. Father, we pray that no one would leave our gathering without knowing that they are right with you and that they will have rest in heaven. Then, Lord, so many of us do know you. We've lived, we've walked with you for many years. And yet we still struggle, Father, to be at rest, to be peaceful in the midst of life's stresses. Father, we pray for one another, that you would help us to trust you, and so to enter into the experience of rest, so that we sleep well, so that we don't need to take drugs and alcohol. Help us, Lord, we pray. Help us to support one another as a loving community and to minister rest to each other. So we commit ourselves, Father, into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.